And they are, it's very playful. And this country is treed, by the by. There are trees not far away from the place. This baby gets up into the tree and plays and half teases its parents and recedes and then comes down. And there's something sufficiently evolved to be able to enter into the spirit of play. And it's a little glimpse of pure, uninhibited animal life. It's there. It's very strongly impressed on the stone. It's there. Now, the father of the family is the first being, is the ape being I first described. And it's had to do with this stone, and its influence is impressed upon it. I can't get away from it. It keeps obtruding itself. So we're in the presence of ape as part of the race inhabiting the place where this stone was. So far, so good. Now I'm going back to the scene of extraction and making. Ape business keeps obtruding over the picture. I see the man, the man-like creature who made this implement. I'm having difficulty in deciding whether he's E-like or F-like. At the moment, he's got a bit of a temper because he broke his... He either found his... chipping implement unsatisfactory or it broke and he threw it down a little angry and poked about amongst other pieces and then set about it again. He's not ape. He's not an ape. It's not an ape that made this. It's a man. It's a primitive ape, what we call ape man. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well, I must commit myself. I can't go on any longer looking forward and backwards and trying to compare. He resembles my memory of F more than E. Yes, he's more man-like.
There he is. Yes,
he's quite intelligent. He's working well, yes. I must place him in the F category. I don't say he's the same man, same being, but I have to place him now in the F category. But as near as I can, with the limitations of this morning's vision. I know that contradicts that first suggestions of slightly prolonged eye teeth. Yes. Try and settle. Oh, there he is. Oh, no, he must be. He must be a being at the level of F at any rate, as far as intelligence, capacity to make implements is concerned. Yes. Now, do you want me absolutely to identify, or is that enough, John?
As long as you can be satisfied that it's a feature of the type.
Well, that's my examination of the scene. This fashioner of this implement is as intelligent, if not more so, at least equal in intelligence and refinement and development towards a human being as F, if not even slightly more so, but at least as much as. I am inclined to think that this man like creature and the ape family live together in a reasonably friendly relationship, that they're contemporaneous, and that the ape man puts up, as it were, with the presence of the full ape family. Yes. So there seems to be some relationship between them. And they live quite near, if not in, the same cave or cave surroundings. I should have thought both types of remains would be in the same place. But they are distinct, of course, quite distinct. As distinct as a man, an animal today, even though, to my modern observation, the ape man, or the man we should call him, is nearer to the animal in form, hairiness, and other characteristics, protuberant muzzle, and so on, but definitely senior.
This ape family, are they talking creatures?
Talking. Squealing, the little one.
Erect walking.
Oh, did you say talking or walking?
No, walking.
Pardon.
Sorry.
Yes, well, are the apes walking creatures? No. They can. I think they're still quadrupedal. I think so, quadrumanal, or whatever the word is. I think so. A second, I'll just verify that. Watch till they change posture. I would say that they're more comfortable and habitual.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're a more comfortable and habitual method of progress is four-legged, or four-footed, or four-handed. Well, now, that's all I can do with that. Yeah.
The next specimen to be examined briefly is SEA1, the provenance of which is, within small limits, doubtful. The attempt will be made to see whether it does belong in time and is made by the same people as the previous specimen.
Owing to some subsidence, this, and possibly the piece, the larger, if there was one piece of which it was a part, at any rate, this rolled and fell, rolled down from its higher normal or original position, I think a cave fell in, or some kind of a hollowness gave way and allowed a lot of, oh yes it did, and allowed a good deal of upper surface stone and soil and material to go rumbling and crumbling down, and it fell down into a lower than its normal position, and soil went with it and covered it. And there it lay for a time. That's the first scene.
which I feel reasonably secure, it lay therefore in a false position, a geologically and positionally false position. And amongst other kind of rock and substance different from itself and to which it did not belong. It's in an artificial position. That's the first scene that presents itself to me. Fall, falling, subsidence. Good old noise it made and went down with a fair crash. Associated with the place from which this, at any rate with which this stone in some part of its history was associated, and there's running water. Then some forces of nature over a long period of time brought it, revealed light to it, light shone upon it by some processes, I don't know what, and the removal of its covering after this event occurred very gradually, and it's interesting, a gleam of light shone on it, and it became exposed to light for a time. And I can feel and see the strangeness after being in, and because this is all in human consciousness, not stone consciousness, of it having been for a long period in darkness, and then by some processes revealed to the light. Now, none of this shows me any human or animal life present round it, but I'm able to go on, I think, yet. Then I sense in the life history of this stone that it's been subjected to very great pressure, weight, terrific weight and pressures, not only from above under gravity, but squeezing pressures on it to hardening, forcing the atoms into closer and molecules into closer packing so that you get a hardening going on. All that's there in the life history of it. And I just want to see if I can come to any contact with animal life.
No, I can only say I don't see any.
I am going to look at specimen SK54. It's ape man, and it died by violence. Terrible violence. It ran about. It held its hands to its head. It suffered very greatly. Died in suffering. It shook its head from side to side in its pain. It had been subjected to violence, the cause of which I don't yet see. It's man, I should say. I don't know that I can say E or F, but it's upright. It's where it goes up, it goes erect. Let's say that. It suffered. Cried out in pain. Kind of animal bawling, it animal-like, struck it. It's holding its head. Something hit its, as if, wait, I'm not stating that, as if the pain was in its head, or it was in pain. Oh, the whole Akasha is saturated with the suffering.
Whatever was it, it's very serious. Died, it didn't die soon enough, and before it actually gave up the ghost, it suffered. Oh, then it fell down. There it's dead. It's on its side. Head's on its side. It's not an ape. Is it necessary or desirable to do anything more?
Just if you could get an impression of whether it is a young individual or middle-aged or...
Right. I can't, yes, that's easier perhaps than classifying it. Oh, look, it fell on its knees, on its right knee, before it fell down to the all of a heap.
I cannot see an attack upon it, or that it's been struck by anything. But I do see that it has this onset of mortal suffering from which it died, as if it had been attacked. But I can't see the attack. But it's that kind of a death. Will that do?
It's Wednesday, 30th of March, 1960. Peggy Donnelly, Geoffrey Hudson, John Robinson in the Broome Memorial Chamber at Stadfontein. The first specimen to be investigated this morning is SK-54, the identity of which and the manner of death of which are of prime interest.
The impression I receive of the produced by this specimen is of very primitive, near ape individual. It is capable of making a sound of distress, and it did so when it was struck by some thing, the nature of which I'll try to discover. It shouted or made an articulate sound of pain, sudden shock. It's very near ape, but there are some features which remind me of the early ape man, which I've already described. There seemed to me to be there, and not real full ape. Some terrible blow seems to have struck the top of the head of this creature, which in very great pain. It was, however, not killed, I should say, by the blow. Definitely not. It got up. It was in a sitting posture, and or crouching posture. It got up. It stood up. It, at any rate, was capable of preserving an erect posture. There were others of the same kind around, and I am receiving the impression of a fight. The Arkash includes erect creatures. I think. It staggered. It put its hands to its head, which was in very great, unendurable, almost pain. Moved its head from side to side, held its head, and tottered and staggered and fell down. matter. Shock. There was some bleeding at the nose. Very ape-like. But it stood erect. Body was then dragged by the hind legs towards and, I think, a little into a cave and other creatures. I'm going to have a fuller description directly. Creatures bent over it. It was head was bleeding. It's dead now. It's very apish. And so are the mourners and other creatures. Still, I must now investigate how different it is, if at all, from pure ape.
I see the body lie down. It is, I'm right, a male. It is not fully grown. It is being, in a very, very primitive way, mourned over by a family. Can't see why it died, except from this blow. I must try and look, see back, the scene begins with the reactions of the creature to the blow. I must try and get further back.
Shock of the impact has been extremely strong on the akasha.
Maybe. Going to modify my view. Now I see this creature lying down. The body is so. I'm not going by the face now for the moment. I see the body. And the male organ of reproduction. And the hairiness over all. Still, the face looks somewhat different from pure brute ape. I'm going to commit myself now. This is a young male, member of a family that live together and is very early removed from ape to man, and I see now an elder. Yes, surely that's ape man. Yes, ape man. And this is a little boy. This is a what we would call a boy. I don't know whether I can get how much grown. It's awkward. It's lying down. Oh, yes, there are those beetling brows, deep-set eyes. Yes. The father, the male. Oh, yes, that male there is distinctly Australopithecus. Oh, yes, it is. Yes, I must adhere to that. I was a little led away by the body, but no, the family is now, I've got to stand by that. Teeth. No. It's very near. It's about as near as I've seen to ape. But I have to say that it's got the more vertical face form. Oh, it's so difficult. There are other. Akasha now is filled with others. There's a great gorilla-like creature and now come on the scene in the Akash. But I must resist that. I just want to stick to this specimen and get its death.
It's a little over half-grown, primitive ape man.
That's what I would say. It was struck. And it was struck artificially. I don't think it fell or hurt itself against any a natural object. Oh no, that's a blow. It was struck, I think, by an ape or an ape creature, yes. Yes, it was attacked by an ape, pure ape creature. Oh, that gorilla-shaped form came, and that was how the attack occurred, and that's how that figure came. An ape or, I can't differentiate now, gorilla-like being attacked it. Terrible sight, this great black-skinned gorilla-like enemy caught this boy, or whatever I'm to call it, little over half-grown victim, and killed it by attacking it with its great arms, and it's a horribly ferocious attacker. It's got great teeth. It beats the body and crushes it and violently attacks it.
It's a black, very dark-skinned creature, and it has that protuberance to some extent on the top of the head, and it beat the head. I think it picked up something in the way of a stone or something and struck the victim. Yes, it did, several times. And it then when it was driven off. It withdrew for some strange reason before the killing was over. And this fellow was terribly wounded and nearly unconscious. It cried out in its pain, staggered and tottered, and the others came running, and the great beast lumbered off, and this body fell down, as I've described it. It was killed by an ape-like creature, by blows or something with some stone implement or some piece of rock or something. Pointed, I think, or rather, yes, rather sharp-edged.
Some countryside.
And was thickly wooded. There was not peace. There was a great gorilla-like ape tribe or people, creatures, about living there. There was this family. There was this family of ape men who lived at a cave, and there was danger, and I think that this youth was caught and unawares and unprotected and suddenly seized upon by a great gorilla-like ape who tried to drag it away after striking it and crushing it, and then out came the family and drove off the great beast, which had bitten or held the head or something in its mouth, and was ravening it, and they drove it away, and this poor thing, this boy, wasn't dead, and he managed to, at least for a time, he stood upright for a time in his agony, and then he tottered and then he fell, and they came and they dragged him in, and he was bleeding very badly all about the head and the nose. And his family keened, use a Scotch term, keened over him. Oh, yes, this happened near a cave. or rather the family lived in or at a cave, and this boy had wandered off a bit, and his shouts attracted aid.
Horrible creature, this attacker.
I see now the difference, the evolutionary difference, between the attacker and the attacked, and feel reasonably sure that there was an emergence from pure ape towards ape man in this family. Now, is there anything more? That's about all, John. Or do you want me to try anything else with this specimen?
What colour was the hair of the attacking creature, the
ape-like? Yes, wait a minute. Sort of dark chocolate brown. Dark, what shall I say? Not entirely black, but not far from black. Black with some almost dark chocolate colour, but very nearly black.
Could you see anything of its teeth, particularly canine?
Just a minute. I did. Canine. I did. It was horrible. The influence of the attack is upon the Akash very strongly. Yes, it's got canines, got prolonged canines.
Was it direct walking?
It was when it attacked. It could. But it's more gorilla-like. It's whatever gorillas do. But it stood up to do the attacking. You want to know its habit, eh?
Yes.
A moment. It was a terrible to-do. It was a dreadful affair. The cave dwellers came rushing. They're erect. I have to say this, that it's an erect family. It's habitually erect. Now, that is the victim's family. Just a moment. You want the other? He's arboreal. He went off into the forest. Oh, it's heavily treed. It's different from now. Slopes away down, trees, it went into the trees. It's in a great temper, it's in a furious rage.
Well, what is it? I can only say it can stand up.
Can you give some indication of the victim's family? Would you regard them as being of the E type or the F type?
Oh, I don't know. All right, I'll try that.
Family, and I think...
They're the father, or the biggest one there, looking over the body. Has a slightly extended canine teeth. Not fangs long right out to come over the lower lip, but I think, yes. Yes, I think so. Yes, they're fanged. Does that place them or not? I've forgotten, I have nothing in my mind.
It does help a little bit.
You want more? I'm ruminating, you better write this too. Just ruminate what it's worth. There's a very primitive form of family life. And there's an elder, two elders. There are youngers. There are reasonably small family members, children, and this one ape characteristic in this peculiarity that a very small one clings to its mother, I think must be the female, yes. Underneath the tummy. There they are. He's quite a... The male, his mind is... Oh, he hasn't got really a mind. He's dimly, instinctually bad, grieving, and he's benumbed, rather, by the fatality. He's got a forehead. He's got some man-like characteristics. He has those deep-set eyes, beetling brows, the ridge, some kind of a raised nose. There he is. I can see him. I can't avoid the conclusion that this is a family of ape men. Let's see his teeth better. Yes, of course, it's very near the ape, but it has got these other characteristics. Have you got other specimens here today, John? Do you want me to stay on this for so long? I'm using up my energy.
There's one more. I think we could leave this one at the moment.
Right. Well, I'll wait a moment. Then before I just drop it, I'll just take a minute more. Your question, more like E than F. So, right, then we'll call that a day for this one. Again, I have that peculiar experience of my consciousness being in the mouth of this animal, this creature, whilst it's eating. It's with evident enjoyment, it's eating. It's got a fairly wide mouth. It's feeding itself with its hands. It's not browsing direct, either from a carcass or whatever its source is. It takes the food in its hands. Puts it in its mouth, bites.
I judge this to be man-ape, ape-man.
Has the vertical, the more vertical facial features of man-ape. Deep-set eyes, the same bristling eyebrows, the same deep-set eyes, ridged bony structures over the orbit. Some forehead goes back very quickly, though. There is a slight more forehead. Then it's got a head. Oh, yes, got a big rounded human occiput. It's an occiput. It's got a proper... Oh, yes, it's got a man's occiput. And, yes. It's got a skull and a foramen and a spinal column going into it. Yes, ape man with that shaped occipital region. Now, what are we going to do now?
Stop. I gather that the owner of this jaw
was a club user, and I detect a psychology which includes a sense of responsibility. It's a family man. It's a family man. I think male. Yes, male. Family man, hunter, going off with a club. It's got a thick branch, part of a branch of a tree. It's used, had it a long time, I should say. It's very worn. The handle's very smooth.
Yes, that's clever. Yes, he's off out.
Here starts the first side of number 13 tape.
But that gorilla isn't the owner of this tooth, in my opinion. Yes, minute. Must get back to where I was. How strong that fellow is, that gorilla being is very strong. No, I don't think that this tooth jaw belonged to it, though. So let's get hold of this again.
I've got to depart now because my line of thought has been broken.
I'm going off after the gorilla for a moment. Because he's so persistent. Same kind, if it is not the same creature transferred, it's exactly the same gorilla-like, huge ape. Very, well, I need hardly say, very, very powerful shoulders and hands, can, arboreal, very, swings by the by the arms, rests foot on branches, rests but doesn't cling, more foot-like than claw-like or hand-like, hind feet, lives an arboreal life, mighty powerful beast, fully developed, I should say, and I think a male. Rather ferocious. That's that fella. Now, do you want any more about that, John?
Well, I'm particularly interested in pinning down which image is really concerned with that jaw.
Right. Now, leave me to switch off, and I will go for that.
I should say it's gorilla.
I didn't get the first word, John.
It's diet. Right, sorry, yes. It's getting some kind of apple-like looking fruit from trees. It plucks them with its hand. It doesn't, upper arms, hands. It doesn't bite direct off the growing plant, but reaches out and takes. It has a curious habit of curling its lips up away from its teeth. Now they're its teeth.
The teeth are regular.
All round. Teeth are regular. Yes, I feel convinced of it.
One last point.
Yes.
The nature and shape of the head.
Oh, wait.
Forehead and the curve over the top and so on.
It's got a different face from ape man. It's not very, almost absence of, there is almost an absence of a septum and a ridge, high raised ridge to the nose. The skin is black of the nostrils. I believe there's some pink inside. There are the eyes. They are brown. They are not very, very deep set. They are slightly. There is not a great and pronounced bony ridge over them, not to the same extent as E and F. The eyes are less protected, so to speak, and not so deep set, really, as E and F. There it is, the forehead almost goes, there is a ridge, yes, there is a bony ridge over that. Correct me if I've denied it, yes, there is. Then it goes back. There's no forehead. There isn't anything straight up or even semi-vertical. It begins to slope back right away. It's narrower than ape man, E or F. It slopes back over the top of the head. It's nearly flat. There isn't anything of a crown like a man has or even as ape man has. Goes right back over. Of course, it's curved and it has a kind of dome effect. It's nearly flat, however. The right back. Now, I suppose you want this occipital business, John, do you?
Yes, a little bit. And also, if there's any planting or ridging or anything of the sort on the top of the head.
Yes.
And the occiput.
Got no occiput. Occipital in curve. Or only little, slight. Nothing like the big inward curve of ape, man or man. There is a ridge or some raised formation towards the anterior fontanelle in man. Oh, but it's flat. The whole shape of the skull is flatter, flat. Curved and rounded, but flat-like, flat. It's got the whole line, let's put it this way, the line is a curve, true, from where the nose is, and there are, of course, nostrils, and there is a nose to speak of, and then there's the raised portion above the orbit of the eyes, and then it goes without any angular change, fairly curving back over the forehead. Yes, there is a slight raised ridge or mound where a little behind the anterior fontanelle in man. Then I follow the skull on back. Oh, I see the ears. They're rather human-like ears, but they're high. They're curved at the top and not pointed. They're high, just they reach up higher than the eyes, more so than in men. Then it goes back. Shoulders. Very slight only, not full, in curve for the occiput. A slight curve only. Now, anything else?
Oh, thank you very much.
And that concludes all the recording that was made on tape 13. And we now continue to the last tape, tape number 14.
It is Thursday, the 31st of March, 1960. Geoffrey Hodson, John Robinson, and Peggy Donnelly in the Broom Memorial Chamber of the Sterkfontein Caves. The specimen for investigation this morning is SK45, a fragment of jawbone containing teeth.
Image of a face, and particularly a mouth and teeth, which I will describe. The teeth are regular, very, and at the period in its life, in the owner's life, very, in very good condition. Face is and being is definitely superior to a monkey or anthropoid. It has a vestige of human-like face, or I should have said a beginning. I meant vestiges, meaning slight indications of human-like face. It's markedly protuberant in the muzzle. There is a long upper lip with the lines down from the septum to the middle of the upper lip. Just distinguishable. The skin is darkish and lined. Fine lines, vertical lines. The nose is much flatter than modern man. In fact, there is a little septum or ridge which is highest at the nostrils and tends to it recedes until it doesn't quite become flat, but it tends to become flat near the eyes. Thus, think I'm really seeing a scene because it's changed to three quarters, moved its head as I was watching it. Yes, it's got a distinct elevation from the plane, from tip of nose upwards, at the brows. The eyes are human-like-ish in shape. I see the upper lid at any rate. It blinks, its brown eyes. It's looking out over something, probably distance. The hair from the head comes down over the cheeks, more like body hair than beard. Yes, there it is. The cheekbone is noticeable, fairly high. I could draw that curve. The maxillary arch, yes, I see that. Going back, the ear, I think I can trace the maxillary arch to the orbit of the ear. It comes nearly level with the actual ear opening. The ear itself has an upper and lower lobe, rather man-like, and certainly the top is rounded. There is a slight indication of a lower lobe. And that leads my mind and thought back. I'll approach that occipital formation from the front over the crown. And I formed a conclusion, but I'm going back now to look at the creature's forehead, if any. Yes, the eyes are very, very interesting. I'm going in there through the eyes later to the consciousness and see if it's an ego or not. I can find it out, what its mind's doing. At the present moment, it's perfectly placid and is contented and is quietly just looking at its surroundings. And its eyes move from side to side, just as anybody would, sitting and looking out over the landscape. It's not alarmed, it's not keeping watch, it just feels perfectly secure, I should say, by the expression. Now, let me try this forehead business. Distinct ridge goes naturally, as it's a ridge, goes back. How odd, the creature yawned. Well, there is a forehead. There the whole face from there begins to look very much more ape-like. Very much more. And you could easily think it is more of a monkey type there. But there is a distinct angle there, about inch and a half, perhaps, assuming a monk or a man's face, I should say an inch. Perhaps an inch and a half, or, say two fingers up from the eyebrow ridge. Then there is a very curved change, but it could be described as an angle, and then it goes back. It's very slopes back, doesn't give a high crown at all. It slopes back, its head is there. It goes over, it's covered with hair. And by the by, again, it's very deceiving because this hair looks more like monkey than human hair. And there it goes over. There's where the more monkey-like characteristics on the outside appear. Oh, there we are. Yes, it comes down. I wonder why it's so difficult to tell.
almost sometimes when I've been doing this particular part of the research, just as if you came to an emptiness where the crown fold curves, brain box curves over to the back, almost as if it crumbled, the bony structure had crumbled as in some ancient skull relic. I must see. Yes. If I am onto the right creature, there is a man-like occiput. Oh, yes, there is. Yes, I have to pronounce it. I don't say it comes in as much as man's. There it is. And then it goes down to the shoulders. Yes, so far, so good. Just want to see again.
Idly playing with something with its right hand.
And it's got something. It's sitting on its haunches at the moment of my contact with it, with its life.
It's not very far from apes, you know. My goodness, there's a lot. You could easily mistake it. Yes, if that's an indication, then there is a forehead. There is a curve in at the back of the skull. There's a slight elevation or ridge through the nose. Yes, there is a more vertical face than a full ape. There is, yes, definitely the muzzle is straighter. Yes, I would say so. There's a very ape-like upper lip, very. There you might easily say it's an ape. That peculiar long look, long upper lip, thin lips. The chin goes right away back. Yes, I believe there is. I think if you've got a lower jaw of this creature, you'd find some indication of a chin bone. Now that's about the best I can do, John, anatomically. I can go, I think I'm going to go into the psychology and egohood from our level to view. Now, anything else you want?
It's chewing, or some kind of plant food, I think, which requires grinding and spitting out something too. It's placid to the last degree. It couldn't be more so. It's contented, placid at the moment. It's got very monkey-like sort of a body, but it stands up. And it stands erect. And it walks erect. But it's more like a big ape there than in its eyes. And just those other characteristics. Behind the eyes. There is a very primitive state of consciousness which doesn't anticipate very much, hasn't got far towards anticipation, preparation for the future, but is like an animal in the sense that the present occupies nearly all the consciousness.